Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. I trust and pray everybody is doing well on a God's in control kind of Sunday. And people would sit back and say, what are you talking about, God's in control kind of Sunday? Well, we got teased a little bit with spring over the past week or so. It don't feel like spring this morning, does it? Come on, wake up now. Let the coffee kick in. It doesn't feel like spring this morning, does it? There we go. Some of y'all are like, oh, it looks good. Hey, the sun's shining, and it's a good day to have the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. If you're with us today, look around at somebody over there. Give them a wave. Give them a smile, a warm greeting that says, hey, I'm glad that you're here today. Yeah, like I said, I don't ask you to shake hands because I know that particularly with coronavirus, flu seasons, and everything else, that's probably not the best thing to do. As we go forward. But hey, a smile and a wave certainly means a lot. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito or somebody else that you see that's listening with you as you go through. You are part of our family as well as we gather together today in the Lord's house at Central Baptist Church. We're asking God's blessing upon each and everything that is said, each and everything that is done. And as always, I just ask you that as you come into the Lord's house today, prepare your heart to meet him here. Come through these doors with expectation that God's going to say something to you, God's going to speak to you, God is going to do something incredible in your life, because that's exactly what he wants to do. Do you have that expectation today? Yeah, as you lift your voice in song, is it an attitude of prayer that you're emitting, or is it just because, well, that's what we've done for 1,000 years and that's what we're going to keep on doing? Make those things have meaning for you today, and I promise you, God will do something that is really, really incredible. So we're glad that you're joining us today. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, as we come to you, we do so with anticipation, with excitement, and with expectation to meet you in this place today. Father, we know that this is not the exclusive place to meet you. You want to meet us and be with us wherever we go. But Lord, help us in these moments, in the stillness and the quietness of your house, to call upon you. Lord, to be still in your presence, to listen and to know that you are God, for you have a message for us today on an individual basis, not just corporately, Father, but individually. Help us, Lord, today to be able to see the message that you have for us, that you might draw us close to you. Lord, as always, we pray that if there is a lost one in the midst, that you truly would just reach their heart today. Lord, we pray you'll give them the courage to just give their life over to you, that all of heaven may rejoice because they gave their life to you. And Lord, we will rejoice as well. Father, today is a beautiful day. This is the day that you have made. We truly will rejoice and be glad in it. So help us as we worship. Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. In the weeks leading up to Easter, we'll be singing hymns focusing on Calvary and the cross. And we'll start today with hymn number 533, He Lives. Please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
You may be seated. You know, one of the things as we have continued the process of taking that Annie Armstrong Easter offering, one of the things that we like to do is make sure that you know and have the opportunity as givers, as a church people, to be able to see, you know, where those contributions go. And that's part of the reason why what we do is, as we're in the offering seasons, we will at least show you the spotlight on a couple of those missionaries that the monies you give support to keep them out on the field. And like I said, for Easter, this is the North American Mission offering, also called the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and that is for North America, Canada, and Mexico. So, you know, that gives you an opportunity to realize that there are people, even here in the United States, that have never even heard the word Jesus Christ. They've never seen a church a day in their life. And although that seems hard to believe, it is the truth. Today we want to spotlight for you Jared and Jen Hunley out of Washington, D.C., one of your North American missionaries.
I was raised in a Christian home, but I gave my parents a really hard time. And so I finally decided to join the military because I wanted to do something hard and actually finish it. And it was actually towards the end of my military service when I gave my life to Christ. And having spent time in the Army, I know that it can be a really spiritually dark place.
They're young, they're far from family for the first time. They don't have maybe a lot of good influences.
A lot of broken homes, marriages struggling, addiction, a desperate need for the gospel. There's a lot of young Marines here, and they're living in the barracks. When we started this church, we knew that that was an area that God was calling us to reach, to host Marines for a Marine dinner once a month is where it started.
To have something like a dinner that they can come to and just be themselves and sit on a couch and eat a warm meal is really impactful for them.
More and more guys started coming, and we baptized our first Marine last summer, and then that Marine led to another Marine and then another one, to the point now where every week we're seeing fruit.
This church, like, means business. They are not okay with you just punching your church card every week.
It was obvious that this was a church that was doing church like the Bible says we should do church.
I feel encouraged every time I go to church. Like, I wish every day was Sunday.
When people give to Annie Armstrong, it enables churches like ours to reach military members and their families with the gospel.
Washington, D.C. is a city with many, many nations. So to have a gospel-centered, healthy church here is reaching not only the people in this city, but cities all across the world.
The military is already moving people around, and as they're moved from place to place, they can take the gospel with them. It's exactly what Jesus has called us to do, and God is changing people's lives.
So that's just an example. The Hunleys are just an example of the many missionaries that are supported through your gifts and contributions to the North American Mission Board offering. We call it the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We always have, you know, some things just kind of hang on, which is a good thing. But at any rate, we want to remind you that we are taking that offering through Easter, probably to the end of April. As the Lord leads you to contribute, please, there are you'll find some of the Annie Armstrong envelopes. If you can't find one, just grab one out of the back of your pew and write Annie Armstrong on it. We'll make sure it gets where it's going. None of that stays here. All of that goes to support those missionaries that are out on the field. And we just ask that you would pray about what it is that God would have each and every one of us to do on an individual basis to be a part of seeing the gospel go forth and reach, like in this case that we saw today, those Marines through the Hunleys as they're out there on the field. What a great opportunity to be a part of that. Okay, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. We're going to ask Him to bless those missionaries that are overseas right now, or the ones that are here as well as those that are overseas. Anyone on the field today that's in a place worshiping different than what we are. Let's just say it like that, because that is happening all over the world today. Let's pray for that as well as our offering to them. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we just ask, Lord, that you would bless the Hunleys today. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of some great and incredible things that you want to do through them as well as the rest of our North American missionaries that are in the United States, Canada, as well as Mexico. And then, Lord, we also think about those that are all over the world that today are disseminating your word, not just on a Sunday, but, Father, every day. They're trying to make a difference in the lives of people for the cause of the gospel and for the cause of the cross. Now, Father, I pray that you will bless us as we give. Lead us in what you would have us to give. And then, Lord, may we be found faithful when that time comes. So bless today, Lord. Bless each and every pulpit across this world today that faithfully preaches your gospel message, and may lives be changed because of it. And Lord, we do ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Forward to that day that he's coming. Amen. Yeah, if you have your Bible, go ahead this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. We're going to be looking at passages out of Matthew 27. I want to do something a little bit different this morning, something that I haven't actually quite done before, but I know that many of us have been praying for Mr. Vernon. That's Mark Vernon's dad. I know that they are watching today. Mark's with his dad, and even though they couldn't be out, they are joining us online today. I know Mark is usually sitting back there holding that corner down. Mark, I see your corner back there. It's missing right now. The Fondos are doing the best they can to look after it till you get back. But it is so good to hear that Mr. Vernon is home. He's out of the hospital. What a blessing that is. But I want to take just a moment, because I know you're watching, to pray for you, as we have as a church, but to pray for you corporately as a church. So let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning as we remember Mr. Vernon and his recovery. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you now, I want to, first of all, thank you for all the many things that you have done. Lord, you are the great physician. I'm thankful for the way that you have been with Mr. Vernon during his stay at the hospital. Lord, I'm grateful that he's home now. And Father, that as he joins us today with his son, Lord, I pray that you will just spark just joy in his life. Father, he has such a tremendous smile and means so much to so many people. Lord, bless him. Continue to strengthen him on his road to recovery, and we'll be careful to praise you for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, Mr. Vernon. Thank you for joining us today. As we're going to look at those passages, we're heading into the time that we know of where we celebrate the resurrection, where we celebrate Easter Sunday, which everything happened. But you cannot have the resurrection without the crucifixion. There are too many folks today who just want to say it's not politically correct to talk about the cross. It is not politically correct to talk about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that you cannot have the gospel without the crucifixion. You cannot have the gospel without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot have the gospel without Calvary, and you cannot have the gospel without the resurrection. You can't remove any of those things and still have a complete gospel. So we're not going to remove it. It's here. The Lord tells us this is something that must be preached. Now, as we think about what led up to the resurrection, and I think it's maybe 3 weeks from today that we will celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, but we must not forget what culminated into that resurrection. We must not forget the crucifixion. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been dealing with elements of the crucifixion and the road to Calvary, as it were. And when we think about those things and consider what took place, you know, we were talking just last week how when the arrest took place of our Savior. You know, we've talked about the garden. We've talked about, you know, what had happened leading into that. And like I said, I'm going to pull a couple more elements out of it today. But this morning's message I actually entitled Gambling with Eternity. How many people today are gambling with eternity? Yeah, some people would say it's like you know, playing that old game that was called Russian roulette, where you stick a round in a cylinder and you spin it, and then you put it to your head and you pull the trigger. As crazy as that sounds, there were people who had done that in the past, and you know what? You basically have a 5 in 6 chance of winning, but there's always that one chance where you don't win. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, there is a 100% certainty that Christ is coming back, 100%. The question is, are you prepared? Yeah, each and every one of us in our own life, individually. Now, I've got to say that could be a completely whole new message, and I won't get sidetracked too much, but too many times we allow what other people say, think, feel, and believe, and do to move us in the direction where we are. We saw that even with the crowds of Jesus. Now, fast forward just a little bit. We remember the triumphal entry. How many of y'all remember that? Palm Sunday. You hear that preached often. Where Jesus entered, and they were taking the palm branches in their cloaks, and they were laying them down, and the children were essentially crying out, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord, and all the people were joyous and happy. But yet, not long after that, it was a completely different scene, wasn't it? They were the ones that were hollering, crucify him, crucify him. We think about Pilate. Pilate was convinced by the crowd. He knew that Jesus was innocent. He even said it. He's like, what fault do you find? He said, I find no fault in this man. But yet, the pressure to give in to those around him made him go wash his hands. Remember what he said? It's symbolically to the crowd. Pilate took that basin, washed his hands, and he said, you guys can do what you want to do, but his blood will not be on my hands. Now, that sounds noble, doesn't it? But it wasn't. He knew in his heart of hearts, but yet he wasn't willing to act on what he knew was right. Folks, there's a lot of pressure in this world today, isn't it? Yeah, we call it peer pressure. That's not just for kids anymore. That's for adults. Adults are pressured into situations and circumstances. Yeah, with the people, we're like, well, we don't want them to know that we feel differently than they do. We do that under the auspice of being accepted. Folks, I'd rather be accepted in the kingdom of heaven and rejected on this earth, because eternity is a whole lot longer than this earthly life that we live. Amen? Now, I'll get back to the passage. Like I said, that was free. But what happens is we're heading into that time, and when we think about what took place, we think about the cross. The cross is the place where Jesus did his best and man did their worst. We think about all the things that Christ went through leading into Calvary. We think about his righteousness, and we think about man's rebellion. We think about his love, and we think about man's lawlessness as this process proceeded. The trial was really a sham, wasn't it? It wasn't really a trial. Jesus was guilty in the eyes of the scribes and the Pharisees, because they were doing things that were contrary to first of all, them receiving personal gain, but second of all, because they felt like they were the ones who were the religious core. Well, they were. They should have been the ones that saw Jesus and knew who he was, but that didn't happen. Now, as we get to this particular area, I'm going to fast forward because one particular verse that really caught my eye this week as we're heading into it, but all the way up to the point of the crucifixion. Now, we've heard the scriptures that talk about all that Jesus went through. We've even discussed a few weeks ago the crown of thorns that was plat upon his head, and as the blood flowed. We talked about how he was scourged and whipped with the reed and the cat of nine tails, and how his flesh was essentially being ripped from his body, and all that he was doing for you and me. Every ounce of it. Yeah, we talked about the fact that he could have called 10,000 angels to save him. We sing about that, don't we? But he didn't. And why did he not? That you and I might have eternal life. That's why he did that. But I want you to think about the march to Calvary's cross. Today we're going to look at those passages that come out of Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to begin reading at verse, I believe, 32. Matthew 27, verse 32. It says this. It says, "Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross." Talking about carrying the cross of Jesus. Verse 33. "And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink." Verse 35, "Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, 'This is Jesus, King of the Jews.'" Father, bless your word in our heart. Lord, may we grow in grace, and Lord, may we always remember that Calvary and the resurrection was accomplished for me, individually for me, corporately for every person that's ever lived and breathed. But Lord, it's a personal decision that we have to make. Will we accept or will we reject? Father, move in our hearts and lives. Draw us close to you as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 35 is the verse that kind of hangs with me. It says, "Then they crucified him." Now, there's a lot of detail that I'm leaving out in regard to the crucifixion today, but let's just, for the sake of today, look at the fact that verse 35 says, "Then they crucified him, divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they did cast lots.'" Now think about that for just a moment. Now we've heard that. We've heard that scripture. I want you to picture it in your mind, what it must have been like, that how all the people that were jeering Christ on the way to Calvary's cross, all the fun that they were making of him, all the sarcasm that was there, that all of a sudden these soldiers decide they are going to gamble for his garments. Notice when I told you that I entitled today's message, "Gambling with Eternity." You know what the interesting part about gambling is? Now, I don't know about you. I all I know is that the way my luck runs, if I were to gamble, and I don't, let me tell you, it's not really gambling. Let me tell you why it's not gambling. Because I know I'm going to lose. I mean, I might as well just, yeah, if I was to gamble money, I might as well just ride down the road and take a stack of money and just hold it out the window and just let it go. Maybe it'll bless somebody else. Because I can make you a promise, I would not win in that situation. But gambling means that there's that somebody wins and somebody loses, right? And it says that they gambled for the garments of Jesus. They wanted to put, and I can just picture that as Christ is being crucified, as he is being nailed to that cross, the soldiers over there, for whatever method it was that they were using to gamble for his garment, they're over there, you know, putting their money in to get a chance at having the garment of Jesus. Now, why do you think that sounds significant? Well, for me, the thing that was coming to my heart was the fact that I still remember a lady in the New Testament scriptures that's faith was so strong that she even felt if she could get to the point where she could touch the hem of his garment. Y'all remember that sermon? The lady who had the issue of blood. And her faith was so strong that she felt if she could just get a touch of Jesus, that she would be healed. She got a touch of Jesus, didn't she? She touched the hem of his garment, and what happened? She was healed immediately. Now I want you to think about it. Fast forward to this particular part. The hem of the garment, the faith of the woman, the garment that this woman touched and was healed, now these soldiers are gambling for. Just kind of takes away from it. The thought and the concept is completely different. These folks, these soldiers, these people that were there, they could have touched Jesus. They could have touched him themselves. And yet they chose not to. They could have had the ultimate healing, not just the physical healing, but the spiritual healing, eternal life in heaven. Oh, they could touch him, but instead they chose to ignore him. They could have been a part of something great that's going to last for all of eternity, and yet they chose to join with the crowd. Well, the crowd had some almighty power back then, didn't it? To sway people. Let me make something clear. The crowd's power to sway people has not changed to this day. You're either going to walk with the crowd or you're going to walk away from the crowd. Which will you do? Now, before you answer, some of us in our heart and mind said, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to walk away from the crowd. Peter said the same thing, didn't he? Remember what Peter said to Jesus himself? Lord, if everybody else leaves you, you can count on old Peter. I'll be here. You can count on me. And Jesus, I don't know whether he had a smirk on his face. I don't think he did, because I think actually it probably broke his heart to mention this to Peter. But he told Peter, he said, Peter, not only are you going to deny me, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. In other words, three times before morning, you will deny me. And Peter did exactly that. You see, when the pressure of the crowd came, Peter folded up. Oh, listen, Peter was the guy who had seen the miracles of Jesus. Peter is the guy who had seen those that were lame walk, those that were deaf hear, those that were mute speak, those that were demon-possessed be healed. Peter saw it with his own two eyes and walked with Jesus, and yet he still denied him. What makes you think that you're stronger than them? Does that give it a little bit more perspective? Does that help you a little bit more with sitting back going, you know what, this thing is a little bit rougher than maybe I thought. You see, the crowds that were saying, Hosanna to the King of Kings when he came in were some of the same people that were spitting upon him when he walked by on his way to trial, when he walked by on his way to Calvary's cross. They were slapping him with the reeds. You know why? In a lot of cases, because they didn't want to seem different than anybody else. They joined the crowd. No, they had a chance to touch Jesus. The hem of the garment that healed the lady with the blood issue was the same one they had that they were gambling for at that particular point. Different perspective on that piece now, maybe? You see, they could have trusted him, but instead they chose to treat him with shame. See, they knew the facts, but they ignored the implications. How many times have we known the facts about something and we completely ignore what the implication of those facts are? Now, let me give you an example. How many times has somebody said, look, man, if you do that, let me tell you, this is going to happen. And somebody says, I know, I just don't care. I know what the cause is, I just don't care. You've seen it, you've heard it. You might have even been that person. Well, there are implications to Calvary's cross. There are implications to the resurrection. Let me make something very, very clear. One day, time as you know it is going to end. There was somebody I was talking to recently, and I made that statement. And somebody said, oh, man, you don't know what you're talking about. And one guy said, well, yeah. He said, yeah. He said, nah. He said, I'm starting to understand a little bit more about what he's talking about now. He said, because never before would I have ever thought that the world would have shut down like it did when we went into coronavirus. Never before did I think that I would not be able to go out and get something to eat. Never before did I ever think of all things in this world that there'd be a shortage of, but toilet paper would be one of them. Never before. See, how many times are we getting into the never before had I thought? We never thought that that would even be possible in our society, did we? And we found out in a 24-hour period what that was like. Remember, one day everything was normal, and the next day it was not. And it hadn't gotten back to what we knew as normal before. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. People, get ready. It's coming. You know, the Lord has called me to preach. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And there's people all over the world going, okay, yeah, right. I'm just worried about what tomorrow may bring. Listen, where do you stand? I'm not worried about your family. I'm not worried about any of them. Right now, those that are listening to me, I want you to concentrate on you. Where do you stand with Jesus? That's forceful, isn't it? That's in your face. Well, it's kind of personal, preacher. No, it ain't personal. It's not personal. Not at all. Your salvation is my deal. That's what God called me here for. The sad part about it is that I believe that based on what we read in Scripture, there's probably more than 50% of church-going people that are going to bust hell wide open if the trumpet sounded today. You know why? Because they think church is going to get them to heaven. Church don't get you to heaven. Jesus gets you to heaven. That's what gets you there. You play act all you want. Jesus sees what's going on. You fool me, you can fool everybody around you, but you will never, never fool God Almighty and His only begotten Son. One day you will stand in His presence, and one day you will look Him eye to eye, and one day you will answer for your decision, either for Him or against Him. And let me tell you, eternity is a mighty long time. We can't fathom that. So here, remember what the Word tells us. The Word tells us life is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away. Just a little, yeah, imagine being out when it was cold and go, and you saw your breath, and then it was gone. That is the amount of life on this earth you have compared to all of eternity. I don't know about you, I'd a whole lot rather lay up my treasures for over there than here. All them people that are convincing you to walk away from Jesus are not going to be standing with you when you look Jesus face to face. And it's not going to be an acceptable excuse to say, well, the crowd said. Listen, we have become a society that will not make a decision. Am I the only one that sees that? Why is it that we are scared to death? And I'm not talking about big decisions. I'm talking about little decisions. Where are we going to eat? You would have thought that you were just asked to solve Pythagorean's theorem. Oh no, we I don't know. Well, go get you some bologna. Hey, listen, I'll go. That's why you don't have any trouble. I will be more than happy to show you the way to the food bar. You can ask. I love that. I'll say the blessing or something. Everybody sits around going, waiting to see who's going to go first. I'm like, Gerald, come on, Mo, let's go. Me and Gerald will show you how to get it done. And everybody just follows right along behind. They just don't want to be first. Why will we not make a decision? Oh, see, you have made a decision based on eternity. Because the Lord said this, you're either for me or you are. There is no middle ground. You're either for me or against me. There is no middle ground. If you are not a believer, then you are a non-believer. You are either on your way to hell or you are on your way to heaven. One of the two. There is no middle ground. The grave is not the end. The grave is not where it stops. The grave is just a door to all of eternity. That's what it is. These folks had Jesus in their midst. That's why I disagree with the theological viewpoint that says, well, when you see Jesus, you know, if you're supposed to be one of those that's going to heaven, when you see him, you'll know who he is, you'll respond to him. Did these people respond to him positively? Nope. And they were in his presence. They were real. They were there. They gambled for his garment. And yet, went away lost. They were reckless with redemption. You know, there will always be those who are going to be reckless with redemption. They know about God, but they continue to be lost. That person maybe you've prayed for, that person has been in church time after time after time, but yet they still haven't opened their heart to Christ. The person that has heard the salvation message 1,000 times and still chooses to reject it. There are those who know about Christ's sacrifice, but yet they continue to walk down the road of sin day in, day out. There are those who know about God's word, but they continue along the way with wickedness. Look at the world today. The world is a wicked place, isn't it? Whatever happened to the kindness and courtesy of loving one another? This world has just gone crazy. Breaks my heart. I mean, it really does. We're just not a kind generation anymore, are we? And yet the Lord called us to love one another, to be kind to one another, to care for one another. And yet we all seem to be out after number one in our world today. See, there were those who were occupied only with the outward things. When you think about them gambling for his garment, that was an outward item. It was a thing. How many things are keeping us from Christ? How many temporal things are keeping us from being what we need to be for our Savior? Is your life all about how much more money you can get? Let me bust your bubble real quick. There ain't gonna be no currency in heaven. If your life is about a bigger house, there's already the best that's going to be built for you in glory that you can't even imagine. If the best is about power, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So what is your life really, really all about? See, they wanted the clothes of Christ, but they didn't want him. See, they were glad to have his clothes, but they didn't want his cross. They were glad to have his garments, but they certainly didn't want his grief. They were glad to have his robe, but they certainly didn't want his rejection. See, many are occupied with things about Christ, but not with Christ. Do you get that? There's a difference in that, isn't there? You can know a lot about somebody and never know them, right? Yeah, I've said before, you know, I know a lot about George Washington. Never met the man. He was a little before my time. But I can tell you a whole bunch about him.
See, there's a bunch of people who can tell you a lot of stuff about Jesus, but don't know Jesus. That is head knowledge as opposed to heart knowledge. Man, I've met people who could answer the questions perfectly and right, and they were as lost as the day is long. Now, I'm not judging. You know why? Because they'll tell you that. Oh, no, yeah, I haven't accepted Christ. But boy, I'll tell you one thing. They can tell you how a Christian's supposed to live, can't they? They can tell you what you're doing wrong. You know what the irritating part about that is? They're usually right. Well, a Christian wouldn't act that way. You could sit back and say, well, how do you know? You're not a Christian. You self-profess that. Oh, no, but I know how a Christian's supposed to act, and they do. Makes us feel bad, don't it? Well, it should. They know how it's supposed to be. See, they were occupied with only the outward things. Are we only occupied with the outward things on this earth? Yeah, I've said before, Satan doesn't always do things that are horrible and terrible. Sometimes Satan is just so subtle. Sometimes if all it takes is him keeping us busy to keep us from doing the things of God, then he'll just make us busy. How many of y'all are busy? Are you too busy to spend time in God's Word every day? Now, I don't want you to answer that out loud. Are you too busy to pick up His Word and read it? Are you too busy to spend some time in prayer? Are you too busy to make time for church? Well, church doesn't save you, but I'll tell you one thing. I am sick and tired of what society keeps pitching to people. I really am. You know, I listen, I get it. I know that there are those that are shut in, and I'm grateful for our outreach opportunity that we have by being able to be online. But you can't do church online. I don't care what you say. You can't hug somebody online. You can't love somebody online. You can't participate with your brothers and sisters online. But you know what? Satan has given that as a really good excuse to get us away from God's people in God's house. And it's tragic. Statistical numbers say that 40 to 50% of people who were actively involved in churches pre-pandemic will never come back again. 40 to 50%. That's across the board. Why? Because we've made it easy to serve. We've made it easy. But you know what? You can't be a part of somebody's life over the tube. You know, we've tried our best to make sure that we have contact, even with our online audience. That's why Dr. John's back there right now, Dr. Gazzito. Yeah, if anybody has questions, to be able to somebody knows we're here for you. But let me encourage you. Walk through the door. Hug somebody again. Be a part of a Sunday school class. Be a part of growing. No, listen, church doesn't get you to heaven, but it don't hurt either. It's where we grow. It's where we do life and where we do a spiritual life together, where we encourage one another. I'm not getting ready to preach another sermon, but I am going to hit a pet peeve real quick. Church should be the place where we can come and be encouraged and uplifted. Not a place where people are hateful to one another. Not a place where we snarl at one another. Not a place where we argue with one another. I love what a guy said this past week. Actually, a guy, one of the writers of the gospel, said this. Jesus, in fact, is the one who said it. He said, do you realize that the church is not supposed to be the country club for the saints, but the church is supposed to be the hospital for the sinners? You know, when you walk into the emergency room waiting area of the local hospital, you don't expect to see everybody well, do you? You expect to see the guy holding his eye that needs stitches. You expect to see the person who's having all kinds of trouble. That is what God's house is supposed to be. And if we get to the point where people are not welcome in the waiting room of the emergency room to see the Father, there's a problem. There's a problem. Everybody, listen, we should be dragging them in. And we should be that one, you know, like you're, everybody's got at least that one friend. You know, that rose bush stuck you. You need to go down. We need to go get that looked at. You need to go get a tetanus shot, or you need to go do this. We need to drag you to the doctor's office or drag you to the hospital. We need to be those people. This should be the most loving, accepted place on the face of the planet, in the presence of the Father. Are we gambling with eternity? Is that the way it is? Yeah. Are our rituals more important than the Redeemer? Is legalism more important than the Lord? The how-to? Are religious works greater than the Word of God? Is service better than the Savior? I think not. But that's what we've got to get to, right? Sometimes starting over is good. Have you ever just messed something up so bad that you just said, oh, let's start over? You ever done that musically? Yeah, you start off. Yeah, you know, all of a sudden you're like, one day, well, that ain't right, wrong key. Let's try this again. Take it down the key. Let's all, it's okay, isn't it? Sometimes you just like, all right, let's back up and let's start this whole thing over again. I think that God has allowed the pandemic to be a part of us evaluating where we are, what we need to do, and saying it's time to start over. Are we going to do that? Let's do it. Let's get it right. So many people are close to the truth but miss it. So many people are actively involved in church but yet they're not alive in Christ. Let me ask you something today. Here's the hard part, and I'm going to shut us down. You're here today, but are you alive inside with Christ? That's a different story, isn't it? Some of us drug ourselves here today. Some of us walked in with joy today. Some of us just walked in today. You know what I'm saying? Have we gotten to that point? What are we? Are we active in church but not alive in Jesus? Listen, if we get alive in Jesus, you'll find the activity in the church will be just fine. Is that personal? Yeah, it's personal. Where am I? Ask yourself that question today. Where am I in my walk with Jesus today? Then if you find you're not where you're supposed to be, don't start pointing blaming fingers. Own what you've done and who you are. Doesn't that drive you crazy today? Everybody's perfect in our society anymore, aren't they? Nobody ever makes any more mistakes. Well, it's not my fault. That was Brad's fault. We missed a cue. That was Brad's fault. That wasn't my fault. And then Brad would say, well, no, it wasn't my fault. It was Tim's fault because he didn't have it on the paper right. And Tim would say, well, it wasn't my fault because you didn't give it to me right. We all want to blame somebody. Here's a novel idea. I want y'all to say this with me in just a second. Oops. All right. All together now. One, two, three. Oops. My bad. Oh, that wasn't good enough. My bad. I'm sorry. He said he's sorry. Oh, but did you mean it? Yeah, if you really, listen, own it. Own your slice of the pie so we can fill the pie up properly again. Amen? That's all we got to do. Are we gambling with eternity? Without Jesus, let me just say it this way. Without Jesus, you can't win. Did you hear me? Without Jesus, you cannot win. With Him and trusting Him, you can't lose. See, I'm on the right team. I've read the end of the book. No matter how tough things might get around here, I have read the end of the book. We win. I want to win with all vim, vigor, and vitality for Jesus. You know, I've often thought about the times that the people are going to answer for the way they've treated Christ and for the way that they have treated other people. And I've, you know that old expression, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. Yeah, sometimes I've thought about what it would be like to have that opportunity in heaven when the Lord calls them on the carpet for it and you get to be behind them going, "Nah." I don't know that the Lord will let me do that, but that's kind of what you want to do, right? I'm going to ask our musicians if they would take their place. We're going to have our time of invitation. And I pose the question to you today. It's an age-old question, but I think too many times we've just let it, we've gotten to the point where it's like water off of a duck's back. I want you to really search your salvation today. I want you to really search your heart to make sure that Christ is there. If he's not there, then you're not saved. It's real simple. Is the Holy Spirit beckoning your heart right now as he knocks on the door? All of us have seen the pictures and everything else where it says Christ stands at the door and knock. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." Have you invited Christ into your life? If not, you know, and that's what the Lord's put on your heart right now, you can simply ask him, truly, prayerfully say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. Save my soul in Jesus' name." And listen, he'll do it right. He's done it right then, right now. Now the question, he says, "Now begin to live for me. Trust me. Allow me to be your life." Okay? Maybe we're here today and we have been play actors. We have been really good at the facade of Christianity. That doesn't mean that we're not saved, but we're not. Yeah, how many times have people said, "Well, you know what? I'm not as good as I once was. I'm not quite like I was. I can't do quite what I used to do." All these different things. You know what? God's not done with you yet. Well, how do you know that, preacher? You're still breathing, aren't you? He's not done with you yet. He still wants to use you. He still wants to move you in his direction. Will we allow that? Or are we like these soldiers, gambling with eternity? I don't gamble because you know what? It's not a gamble when you know you're going to lose. Too many people are gambling with eternity. God forbid that when we are in that place called heaven, or when we're at the judgment, you know what? I am dragging you as best I can to heaven with me. You won't be able to blame me. You know what? You know what Satan's going to remind people in hell? People that have been through these doors, people who have heard me preach. You know what? Satan's going to remind them every day. "Hey, remember that invitation? Remember that sermon Roy preached? Remember the conviction? Remember you turned away?" Yeah, that's torture, isn't it? He's going to remind, I believe that Satan is going to remind people of all their opportunities for salvation that they've let go. Because imagine that. You wouldn't be here today if you'd have just listened, knucklehead. You wouldn't have been here today if you wasn't so stubborn. You wouldn't be suffering in eternity in hell. Look at all the chances on the big screen that you had to trust him. And yet you didn't. And Satan's going to go, question is, where will you be? Listen, if you need Christ, if you've accepted it, please let us know. If you're part of our online audience and you trusted Christ, we want to follow up with you to help you in your walk with him, to strengthen you as you go. We're here to encourage each other. We're not going to embarrass anybody. Listen, I'm going to ask you another question. Those of you who are believers, have you obediently followed Christ in believers' baptism? Baptism doesn't save you, but it is an act of obedience following salvation. And I hear it all the time. "Well, you know, I got baptized when I was little, but I really didn't get saved till I was about 20. And I'd like, "Well, did you follow in baptism?" "Well, I told you I got baptized when I was little." I said, "Yeah, but you also just told me you didn't get saved till you was about 20. Have you followed in believer's baptism after salvation? Now, some of y'all didn't like that question. You know why? Because some of you all fit that bill, and you're like, "Well, you know what? I've been in church now. I'm 70 or 80 years old, and I'm not going to, you know, what will people think if I get baptized?" Let me tell you what people will think if you get baptized. They'll be going, "Woo-hoo-hoo!" Well, how do I know that? We've seen it here before, hadn't we? We've seen it here. Have you been obedient? Listen, whatever it is you need to do, you do business with the Lord right now. I'm just going to ask you right where you are, if we would, just stand as we sing our invitation hymn. Brad is coming to lead us. If you need the altar, it's here. If you need me, I am here. But you do business with God. Don't let this moment get away from you. Closed as you continue to do business with the Lord. I love that. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one, and that's you. There's room at the cross for you. Will you respond to God's calling in your life today, whatever that calling may be? I'm also going to ask our ushers at this time if they would make their way to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. Don't forget, as our ushers take their place, that we are in the process of taking our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. 100% of that goes to keep our North American missionaries on the field, the ones that we've been introducing to you over the weeks. We will be taking that offering probably through the end of April, but don't delay. If the Lord's already put that on your heart, go ahead and put that in there. We've got a goal of $7,000 to send there. How will you impact hearts and lives through that? Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful for provision. Lord, we realize that all good things come from you. You have given us the opportunity to work for the paycheck that we have received. And Lord, you have blessed us beyond, above and beyond anything that we could ever imagine, even more than we could think of. So Lord, right now, I just pray that you will truly help us as we come to that time to give back to you that portion that you have blessed us with. May we be found faithful. Father, I think of the widow's mite and what you said about her. May we be found faithful just as she was, that your kingdom's work may be done. So Lord, bless this offering and bless the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
things, and we'll get you out the door. Don't forget, choir practice is now on Sunday afternoons or Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. So this evening at 5 o'clock, choir practice for those in the choir or those that want to be in the choir. Come on out, 5 o'clock. Just put this on your calendars. I know that you already have this date marked, but Easter Sunday morning, we're doing something a little bit different. We're actually going to be doing an Easter Sunday breakfast at 9:30. So we're going to gather for breakfast, and then we're going to have our resurrection type service. We would love to have you be a part of that. We'll give you a little bit more detail. So you know, as we get closer, we just need to know how many we'll be preparing for. So we look forward to that coming up on 4:17, Easter Sunday breakfast. Is there anything else that I need to mention? Meetings or anything anybody's got that? Okay. All right. If not, just one final thing before we see us off in prayer. Birthdays for this week. Got it right this time. Tuesday, Nancy, our very own Nancy Kreider is having a birthday. You know, there's a lot of special things. She'd probably get mad at me or throw something at me, but she's very, very special, I know, to our church, but she's very special to our staff, too. I tell on her, but on our birthdays, she will come here and make our favorite meal for us, and we'll have a birthday meal as a staff. But Miss Nancy has just, she's just such an encourager in good times and bad times. She's a good ear to vent to, and we're a good ear for her to vent back when she needs to. But bottom line is we have loved and enjoyed serving with one another. Nancy's birthday is this coming Tuesday. Be sure that you let her know how much you love her. I know that there's a lot of you that do. It sure makes folks feel good when they hear it. I love you. I'm looking forward to yet another start of another year with our very own Miss Nancy. We call her the staff mom, is what we call her. She keeps us all in line in many, many ways. So, okay, if there's nothing else, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Don't forget this evening, Bible study, 6 o'clock p.m. right here. David Miller, Awana, 5:30. So we're still on our regular 5:30 time for that. And bring the kiddies on by. Let's see people come to know Jesus. That's why we're here. That's what we want to do. Let's make it our mission. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity that you give us as a body of believers to be about your business. Lord, we pray that you will certainly help us in doing so, that we would do it in a way that honors and glorifies you. Lord, we thank you for people like Miss Nancy. Lord, I pray you'll give her a great week. We thank you for her family, and Lord, what they mean to each and every one of us in this church. Lord, I prayerfully hope and understand that those even outside will hear about Miss Nancy and want to come and just be a part of her life here through Central Baptist Church. God, give us a great, great day as we go away from here. Help us to represent you well with those that we come in contact with, and help us, as your son said, be about our Father's business. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, folks. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.